Hey, this is Dr. Veronica, and you're listening again to Wellness for the Real World. Let's just jump right in with a hot topic of the day. Not that all the topics aren't hot, but this one's, I think, of interest to a lot of people, even if it's just out of curiosity. So let's learn more. And people feel very different about this particular subject, one way or the other, usually very strongly. I think when people have these strong feelings, it's because they have no idea. They're just ignorant, usually, of the total subject. And I'm talking gender identity. So, you know, I have all kinds of friends. And when I really say I have all kinds of friends, I truly do have all kinds of friends. I know people say I got all kinds of friends and I'm their friend and I'm their only black friend. And it's easy to be friends with me as the black friend. You know, it's pretty easy when you're a doctor to be friends with me because maybe I'm more like you than I'm like a lot of other people. But when I say I have all kinds of friends, I have them, you know, all races, different genders, obviously people who are I have switched one way, so I've had an opportunity to ask some intimate questions, but I've never had the opportunity to interview somebody on the radio about this because they really wanted to talk about it. And so my next guest, his name is Seth Reines, talks to people about these gender issues. Now, I met Seth at an event, and interesting, Seth, I mean, you look at Seth, normal young man, but Seth started life as a woman, as a girl, as a female. And a thing I said to Seth, I was like, man, you really make a good man. You make a good man. I could see, like, you know, hanging out with Seth, you know, in intimate ways because he makes a good man. But Seth used to be a woman. And this is just fascinating to me. Now, let me just tell you this. I got to tell you, if I started hanging out with a guy and I found out he was a girl, that would just piss me off. It really would, because I would feel like they were hiding something from me. But different people handle this different ways. I feel there should be full disclosure because everybody makes their decisions the way ever they make their decisions. And I don't necessarily think you should change them. I would be pissed. Now, I don't know what I'd do necessarily. I don't believe I've been in a relationship with somebody who was a girl first, but you never know, okay? But in the country, there's been all these issues about bathroom use. And, you know, people are just so weird when it comes to bathroom use because in our country, anything that has to do with sex is taboo. Now, we can have all kinds of violence, all kinds of cursing, all kinds of hateful things happening. But when it has to do with sex, oh my God, shh, don't talk about it. And so we're in a bathroom where people are taking care of quote unquote business, which we all take care of business because that's what humans do. And now it's well, which bathroom do you use? How do you allow people to use bathrooms? This is how it's become mostly to the forefront. But people walk around every day in men's bodies feeling like they should be women, in women's bodies feeling like they should be men. Caitlyn Jenner is the latest celebrity, I would say. And, you know, the thing about Caitlyn Jenner that I don't know, and maybe Seth can comment on this, I feel like it's almost, because he's with the Kardashians, it's almost like a stunt. I don't know. Now, that would be a pretty big stunt. But, you know, and then let me just got to tell you that when they wanted to say Caitlyn Jenner, Woman of the Year, I was just like, well, I wanted to say a curse word, but, here I am on the radio, I can't do that. Well, can't women, like, claim anything without a man taking it from us? This is how I felt about it. I'm like, I'm cool that Caitlyn has found herself, but Woman of the Year? Come on! There's 3.5 billion people that are women in the world, maybe more because there's more women, and we had to find somebody who switched over. Now, I'm a generally relatively tolerant person, but I just have to say that because I'm like, come on. But I want to talk and listen to Seth because I'm just curious about when it started switching, why bathrooms and locker rooms are such a big deal. You know, did you always know you were like this? So Seth Reines, welcome to Wellness for the Real World.
Thank you for having me on, Veronica. It's really great to speak with you again.
So I'm gonna first let you comment on what I said about Caitlyn Jenner, because I'm sure you were saying, how can she say that?
Well, there's two comments I want to make. One, the Woman of the Year, she didn't actually vote for it. Someone awarded that to her. I was surprised myself. So, and I agree with you, there are many other people. Why that was done, I don't know. I can't speak to that. But speaking to the Kardashian thing, Caitlyn and I are a couple years apart. We're not that much different in age. And I understand growing up in a world where you know or believe that you're different, because in our day, back in the 50s and 60s, there was nowhere to go to really find any information. And who are we going to ask? It's not like you have the internet and you can just secretly pry into things and nobody knows. You know, your parents would have to take you to a library, and then, you know, in the Dewey Decimal System, what are you looking up? And who are you asking? And what is it? You know, you don't go to the library and go, I feel different. Is there a book on feeling different? So many of us from that era sort of bore it inside secretly. I know for me, you know, at a certain age, kids know what they can and can't say to their parents for the fear of maybe they would be punished. I mean, after all, in our era when we grew up, we were sponges, and kids are sponges, but we didn't have a lot of things that kids have today, like the programming that educate kids, because people believe that kids could do things before they became six and could read. So there's a lot of things that come into play when you're young and you just take in, and you know what you can and can't say. And I just had a feeling that if I were to have said something, I could have been in trouble for it.
But are there many parents that wouldn't react in a little bit shocked way, because you just don't know what to do with it?
Well,
and you're not thinking necessarily at that point about your child. You're thinking about, oh my God, what did I do wrong, or how does this reflect on me? I mean, so we got to have some compassion for the parents out there and not think, oh my God, I mean, the parents are so awful, how could they not like embrace the identity of their child? But I mean, I don't know if you're a parent now, but I mean, I certainly as a parent can understand, oh gosh, what would I do with the information? It's cool, it's your child, but if it's my child, I'm not sure what I would do with the information. And
right,
I'm willing
to
admit that.
Exactly. And but you have to understand, you're talking about 2016. When you're talking about 1960, it wasn't on the lips of anybody. And now you'd have to be under a rock not to have heard the word transgender, good or bad news, right? And even in today's world, there are many more parents that are accepting, because after all, I agree with you, at the end of the day, this is your kid. And whether your kid is transgender, or whether your kid, you know, gets diabetes, or your kid has ADD, or any type of a challenge that, you know, many kids will have, they're still your kid. And you have to, and you should support them. Do people support them? You know, some do. I mean, I'm lucky to see the ones that do. I wish I could get a hold of more that don't. Because the LGBT community, 43% are homeless, and 40% of that are transgender kids.
Wow.
Because when the kids are, let's just say, 14 to 18, and they say something in the house, you know, a lot of times their own worst enemy, unfortunately, is the parents, because the knee-jerk reaction is, not my kid. You know, it's not going to happen to me. I'm going to be an embarrassment. It's all about me, me, me. And, you know, and if religion plays a part, you got that piece of it as well. So we try to encourage kids, if they know the environment could be a hostile environment, not to say anything, because they don't want to be on the street at 14. And, you know, sometimes they'll have a school counselor that may, you know, help them out and help them, you know, mentally until such time when they can become 18 and do what they want to do. And I see many parents who are on board. I mean, they're on board, you know, with a grimaced face because it's their kid, but yet as time goes by, that face softens, they understand. Just like you said in the beginning of your show, you know, once you learn something and it's not the misconception, then things usually flip-flop to the other side. And people say, well, gee, this isn't as daunting as I thought. Now I understand it more. It's just my kid, and I'm going to support my kid, because the most important thing is to have family support, because this helps the child going forward, any child going forward, to have self-esteem and confidence, and they're not going to become a victim of bullying. They're going to learn, as I would say, and my mother used to tell me, to grow alligator skin and learn to blow these things off, because sometimes it doesn't end in school. It could be a pattern that goes for the rest of your life, and you have to learn how to respond to it, not react.
What was it like when you were female? Were you the girly girl, or were you always...
No, never. I don't know what it's like. Here's the funny part. This is going to sound weird, because I could speak to both sides, you know, like in a corporate life, how women were treated and how men were treated, and there certainly is a difference. But I don't really know what it was like to be female in the terms of what people believe a female should be. I was not prissy. You know, I was a tomboy. And, you know, for 40 years, when I was a woman, I got questioned all the time why I should be in the bathroom. I mean, but all the time. It became just a way of life for me. And you know, depending on my mood, you know, I would say to people, well, the last time I looked, I could read a sign. You know, and it just got to be a way of life. And I learned early to just compartmentalize and put it in a different place and try to carve a life for me that I thought would be my life, given I had no knowledge of what I know now. I mean, it's a whole other story, but back in my day in the 60s and 70s, where was I going with this? And I truly carved, like, what I would consider to be a single and I don't want to say lonely road, because I did have friends, but certainly with what I would say maybe a hidden secret. And it's not that it was really hidden. It's just that what could I do with that?
Well, that's what I was going to say. So if it sounds like that you were always, even when you were, I don't even know how to word it right, but even when you were a woman, there was question whether or not you were a woman.
Right. And to be honest, I mean, and this is the reason why I speak about it to everywhere, to corporations, to schools, to parents and kids, because even though I was living my life, I was spinning in my head, you know, because I was present, but I wasn't present. And people don't understand it. People can sort of relate to it when you're stuck in a meeting somewhere you don't want to be, and your head's saying, I got to go do grocery shopping, or I got to pick up the kids. You know, you're someplace else even though you're there. Well, for a trans kid or a trans person, that's a 24-hour thing. You can't take that off. You know, you go to bed thinking that. You go to bed waking up, and if you have to be somewhere, you're there physically, but mentally, you're just perseverating.
So when did you decide that you were going to, instead of being a woman that was, you know, sometimes we, you know, I go places. I think we all do this. And you may even do this yourself. You'll meet somebody and you're trying to figure out, is that a man or is that a woman? Is that a man or is that a woman? I was at a restaurant and we had the wait staff person, and I say it like that because I can't figure out, still until right now, was it a man or was it a woman? Was it a he or she? And I think part of this is the discomfort of that, of when you see somebody that's ambiguous in that way. Do you feel that yourself? Do you feel like when you meet somebody?
No, I personally don't, but here's the thing. You know, in this country more than other countries, specifically this country, you're either in one box or another. And if they can't stuff you in the box of female or the box of male, you know, with an arm and a leg hanging out, nobody knows what to do with that. And I think we're now coming to realize that the spectrum isn't narrow. It's extremely broad. And when you talk about, you know, that instance with the wait staff, maybe that person was agender, or maybe that person was androgynous, or, you know, they may not have identified as either female or male. And so you saw them in a very androgynous way. And there are many, many people who live that way as well. You know, for me, I don't think about and I don't look at anybody any differently, because I know what it's like for me, and I understand that internally. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, when it comes to people, that the heart is going to be much greater than the parts.
So let me just ask from a you know, so I'm in the restaurant and this person is helping us, you know, pleasant enough and all, you know, just there was nothing unusual about it, except if I wanted to call this person, I didn't know their name. They didn't introduce themselves. And so therefore, I didn't know whether I should say she or he, or it just gets to be strange in that you don't know how to address the person at all. If you want to call them, can you call that lady? But you don't know it's a lady. What if can I call that lady and it's a man? What if I say, can you call the man and it's a lady? So it's more of what do we do with that aspect of it?
It's easy. It's very easy. You just say, you just ask someone, what is your preferred pronoun? Done. They'll tell you he, she, or they may say they.
Okay, but here's the thing. If you're like a woman who's really identifies womanly, and somebody says to you, what's your preferred pronoun, you might become offended.
I guess you could, but for people who are on that trans spectrum, it's respectful. If you don't know someone's name, you know, you either ask what their name is, and if it's sort of gender neutral, then you have to address them by their name. Or if you don't know, most people appreciate the fact that you would say, what's your gender pronoun? And quite frankly, in today's world, it's almost becoming commonplace. I hear that all over now. So it's something the world may have to get used to. In this way, nobody takes offense. I mean, for me, I'm older. It doesn't matter to me. You can call me whatever you want because I've lived through that. But you know, it's not. It doesn't make it right. But if there's any inkling of you're not sure, that's the easiest way to, you know, handle a situation that may be tough.
You just, you know, I've been in a lot of situations, and when I get in that, I'm like, what should I do? It's like, what's the proper etiquette? And you feel like, I don't want to offend anybody. Of, you know. So when in the transition process, so you were saying you always felt like you were male, even when you were living as a woman. And so now people are transitioning, you know, surgically and everything. It's a big deal. So what do parents, how do you know, when is it too early? Is there ever a time that you should question, is this the right thing to do? How do you know? You know, your child comes and approaches you and says, I want to be a man or I want to be a woman, and it's kind of broadsiding you. How do you know when it's right to allow
it? For sure, when they come to the parents, they have an encyclopedia of information. The parents are literally, you know, just smacked upside the head. But in a perfect world, let's talk about a perfect world. If a child, gender identity is formed between 18 months and 3 years of age, that's just when it comes into being. Now, does every child, you know, at 3 years of age say I'm a boy or a girl? No. You know, it comes differently with different kids, 5, 7, 8, 10, whatever it is. When kids are younger, before puberty, which today seems to be like earlier than it ever was when I was a kid, but let's say 10 or 11, whatever it is, you know, they don't do anything. You know, they don't do anything. You go to a gender therapist or maybe a clinic, and they just do a simple intake, and they watch, and they just, all you do is gender expression, which is cut the hair, let them wear a dress, anything that's what I call the external wrapper, because there's no harm there, and you let the child be who they are. And by the time the child goes into puberty, 6 or 7 years later, if this is a three-year-old, again, this could be 8 or 10 or 12, then they would use puberty blockers if that's the consensus and that's where they're going. And puberty blockers are reversible. You know, they're used for precocious little girls. And so they put them on puberty blockers for a couple years. Again, this brings the child, you know, closer to 12 or 13 or 14, depending on the kid's age. And then at that point, the parents are already on board for like 10 years, give or take, 8 years, 5 years, 7 years, and they're going to conferences and they're getting educated, and they see that their child's much happier, because almost all the time when I hear this from parents, you know, if we let the kid be a boy or a girl, whatever, however they identify, they do better in school, they have friends, they're not in their room secluded and isolated, and kids that are older tend to get depressed, tend to get anxious, they start cutting. And what the world needs to realize is that they assume those are the primary problems, but when in actuality, most of them are secondary problems to the primary issue, which is the child is transgender. Mm. and they feel boxed, and they can't do anything about it. Because remember, a 10 or 12 or 14-year-old at this point, if they transition later, they come to them later, is already on the internet. They've already seen videos of all these kids, you know, morphing literally over a video, and they're going, wow, that's me, I can identify, whereas in my day, I had nothing to identify with. And they know that they can have that. That could be them. So there's that internal frustration. But if we had the perfect world and the child was young and we went along our merry way, you know, at some point they would put the child on cross hormones, maybe 14, 15. Again, it's relative to the uniqueness of each individual child's puberty. And then maybe, you know, in their 20s they would get surgery. But I have to remind you that not everybody takes cross hormones and not everybody does any type of surgical procedure. One of the things in this world that is makes this whole bathroom thing and everything, you know, just ridiculous, is that it's a quarter of a fraction of a percent of the transgender community. It is the male to female, MTF, who transitions late in life, who's already gone through male puberty, which, if you identify as a female, can be very harsh on the way your body looks. Tall, big hands, big beard, you know, facial characteristics. Those are very hard to undo. Unless you are Caitlyn Jenner and you have a quarter of $1 million to put into facial surgery. Okay, so that's why when a child is younger, like Jazz Jennings, you know, when they allowed her to start the transition at 4 or 5, again, no medical intervention until puberty, if you saw her on the street, she looks like a girl, because as a doctor, you know, both genders have hormones. They have testosterone and estrogen.
Yes.
And at puberty, one of those takes control. So the body doesn't really know, you know, by hormones which one it is until puberty kicks in. And if you block the natal puberty and introduce the other, which would potentially be the weaker hormone, later in life, the body just takes on those female or male characteristics. And so this is the problem that we have with the bathrooms, because, look, there's no way if a female to male is transitioning, I don't care what the body shape, once facial hair is on that person, whether it's shaved or a mustache or a goatee, no one's going to say, you don't belong in the boys' bathroom. That's just, you know, we look and we take that quick glance. It's the other way around, and what I caution people about is when men transition to women, you know, they don't have a girlfriend or somebody with them that can teach them how to put on makeup, what to do, how to do this. And you have to remember, when they attempt to go out of the house for the first time in a dress or something that's feminine or some kind of maybe a wig because maybe they've lost some of their hair or some makeup, they want to blend. Okay, the word everybody uses is pass, but I hate that word because we're not getting over on anybody. They want to blend. That's the best they could opt for. If I blend in with everybody else, I'm not standing out. So it takes everything they have to walk out of that house and not get picked on, harassed, or maybe beat up. So when they go into a female bathroom, all they want to do is go to the bathroom. They are the target there. They want to be able to blend, walk in, do what they have to do, and walk out. They're not looking to hurt anybody in the bathroom. And I know that it's come down to a man in the woman's bathroom. Well, look, you've been around the block and so have I. If there is a man in a women's bathroom, we've had rules against that for as long as I can remember. It's not going to be someone who does their best to identify and appear as a female.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, don't we all have gender-neutral bathrooms at home?
We do. And there's a lot of, in New York City, there are quite a few gender-neutral bathrooms, even in restaurants.
Oh, absolutely. They do the single stalls. It makes it easier for them. And most of them,
yes,
it's a space issue,
yes,
but still, they do that.
But they do have some where the space is there and everybody's going into the same, like all the stalls are together and you come out and everybody's washing their hands together.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
You know what? Unfortunately, I think they've made this an issue. They've used that as the icing on the cake when the underlying issue is not the bathrooms, it's discrimination.
It is.
I mean, everything started in the bathrooms, right? I mean, it was, you know, it was way back in the day, if you notice how bathrooms were designed, there were no women's public bathrooms back in the day because women stayed home. And then this is in the 20s, and then they brought the female bathrooms in, and then it became a black and white issue, and then it became an AIDS issue, and now it's a transgender, there's like nothing left. to put the bathrooms at the head point.
Don't say there's nothing left. This is America. We'll find something.
Okay. So maybe we'll invent something, or something will come down the line in the next couple of years when this takes a back seat.
Well, so your parting advice to parents who are knowing something's up and they just don't want to say anything, what would you say to them?
Well, a couple things I would suggest. On my website, I've got resources, but they could go to, they can Google transgender health. The HRC.org, that's the Human Rights Campaign.org, has a map of the United States of all LGBT clinics. And I would suggest that they go there because they're gender therapists. They're people that are dealing with the situation. The thing I would caution people against, at least I know in New Jersey, it's against the law to do reparative or conversion therapy. I would definitely not do that because that causes more harm to the child. Mm. To be in the right hands in the beginning, just as like a baseline, so to speak, and this is what it is, and also to be with other like-minded parents. Support groups, PFLAG is another organization. I run a transgender group once a month here in Jersey, where people can talk, parents can talk to parents. What did you do when this happened? What did you do? And sometimes parents are parents' best support.
Sure. Yes.
And not to be afraid, because honestly, this is something that's been going for a long time. We didn't just come out of the woodwork yesterday, and there's the World Professional Association of Transgender Health with doctors and surgeons and counselors and psychotherapists all over the world that have come together for many, many years now. I don't even know, this could be 20 years. I'm not exactly sure. I don't remember the date. And they have conferences and the latest things, and they have a guidelines. It's called the Standards of Care, and it's a recommended guidelines for transgender teens and adults. And most doctors who are trans-friendly know about the standards of care, and they follow those. And it works. Everybody's they put their two cents in. Everybody has come together to say, this is the way we feel this should be handled. And I think if they're in the right place for the first meeting, they're going to be okay because they're getting the right information. They're not getting misinformation, which, again, is the reason why I speak. I'm trying to debunk things that I heard as a kid. It's my generation and younger that has the issue. The young generation, everybody gets them all.
That's very true. And right? that's a positive thing because, you almost want to say, maybe some people need to get out of the world a little quicker because the younger people are so much more open-minded and understanding. Seth Reines. SethReines.com. Seth Reines, R-A-I-N-E-S-S. SethReines.com. Was once a woman, now a wonderful, beautiful man. Thank you for doing your work.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Veronica. This is Wellness for the Real World. You can find me at drveronica.com.